Scripture reading this morning is from the book of Luke, chapter 1, starting in verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
Happy Mother's Day to all of you. You know, I look out and it's amazing to me how many of you beautiful ladies I see who are mothers that when I first knew you, you weren't mothers yet. I'm getting old. That's the only thing I can conclude. You know, since 1914, we have honored mothers on the second Sunday in the month of May. And we don't do it because it's a social obligation, or we don't do it because it's a national tradition, but we do it because God tells us to. God tells us to honor our fathers and our mothers. And we do that. I want to begin with a story this morning about a mother who had a four-year-old daughter, and they were walking together through a park, and the little girl saw something on the ground, so she reached down, picked it up, and started to put it in her mouth. And her mother, out of instinct, just grabbed her arm and took it from her hand and said, "Don't be putting that in your mouth." And of course, the little four-year-old daughter said what all little children say, "Why?" And her mom said, "Well, because we don't know where it's been. It's been on the ground. It's dirty. We don't know who's had it in their hands last. It's probably full of germs." And she went on to lay out a litany of reasons why that little girl shouldn't be putting that in her mouth. And when mom finished talking, the little girl looked at her and said, "Wow, where did you learn all that stuff?" And her mother looked at her and said, "Well, it's on the mommy test." The mommy test. So they started walking a little bit further, and you could see in the girl's mind she was thinking and thinking and thinking about what her mom had said. And finally she stops and looks at her mom and said, "Now I understand. The mommy test. If you don't pass the mommy test, then you have to be a daddy." And that's kind of the way it goes. And we see that explicitly in the Gospels as we see God choosing the one to be the mother of the Savior of the world. It was the mother he went to first. It was the mother that he embraced because of who she was. You know, Proverbs 23 and verse 25 tells us, "May your father and mother rejoice. May she who gave you birth be joyful." We need to make sure that our mothers are joyful, because we've given them a lot of reasons to stress over the years. But they need to be joyful. And this morning, I want for us to take a look into the life of this mother chosen by God and see some of the things that she had to deal with as the mother of Jesus. You know, she didn't have to worry about having a son who was going to talk back to her. She didn't have to worry about having a son who was, she would have to wash his mouth out with soap from time to time. She didn't have to worry about having a son who disobeyed her. And we might think as parents, boy, what a great deal that was. I wish I had that kind of a child. But you know, there were other very unique things that Mary had to deal with in being the mother of the Son of God. It's interesting that God went to this little town of Nazareth and tapped this little virgin on the shoulder and gave her this tremendous task that was set before her to be the mother of Jesus. And twice the angel Gabriel said to her that you are highly favored by God. Can you imagine God saying that to you or to me? That you are highly favored by God. Why did God feel that way about Mary? What was it about Mary that was so special that he was willing to give her this most important role, not only in the life of his son, but in the life of the world as well? Well, there are a lot of reasons that we could talk about, but I'd like to specifically talk about two of them this morning. As we look into the life of Mary, we see that God saw that she had the proper perspective. You know, Mary was greatly troubled, as we just read, when Gabriel made this announcement to her. She was no doubt a little on edge when the angel gave her this news. It was very troubling to her, I'm sure. I mean, after all, she was engaged at the time to Joseph. And I'm sure being engaged to Joseph, that her mother must have sat down and had a talk with her about the facts of life. You're going to become a wife. You're going to become a mother. This is God's creation. This is how it created to be. And I'm sure they had that discussion because she was about to be wed. But I don't think that Mary's mother ever talked to her about the Holy Spirit being the father of her child. Of course it was troubling to her. Of course she didn't understand all the implications of what was about to transpire. Not to mention in the fact that a woman who was pregnant out of wedlock, who was engaged, now remembering that things were different back then, these days it's really no big deal, unfortunately, but back then she could have been put to death. She could have died. So there are a lot of things that were going through her mind, I'm sure, at the time. But I think what's important for us to understand, if she said this, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. How powerful those words are. Coming from a little, about to be wed, Virgin Mary. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Would that we could repeat those words when we look through God's word and he instructs us on what we should do. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And, that's not enough, and love your neighbor as yourself. And sometimes we're so worried about trying to figure out who this neighbor is that we have to love. Why don't we just love everybody? Then we don't have to worry about who our neighbor is. And that's the point that Jesus is making. And why don't we say to that, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Instead of trying to figure out who he's talking about. Just love everybody. That's what Christ did. We are the Lord's servant. Mary had the right perspective because she knew that nothing was impossible with God. That if God said that it would happen, it really would happen. And it didn't matter if she understood the hows or the whys because she knew the who. And that was God. And he was going to make it happen. And she was God's servant. And she understood that. And God knew that. And Mary also saw that motherhood was an honor and a blessing. Further in Luke chapter 1 and verse 49, we see Mary's song that she sang. She was so excited about this great honor that God was giving her that she sang a song. Not a song of concern. Not a song of worry, not a song of anxiety, but a song of rejoicing, a song of celebration, because God had seen in her something that was very special and was honoring her with this great blessing of a son. But Mary also knew that nothing was impossible with God. Notice the words in Luke chapter 1 and verse 37. It doesn't say for nothing is impossible for God. We know that's true. Nothing is impossible for God. But that's not what this passage says. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible for us in our lives with God. And that's the message that Mary wants understood, and that's what she understood in her life as well. With God by her side, with God by our side, nothing is impossible. And mothers, I understand how frustrating children can be. They can drive you crazy. If you go in the fellowship hall, Ethel did a great job of putting up a bulletin board, a poster that has a lot of pictures of mothers that we love so much, that we cherish so much, that have gone to their reward. And a picture there of my mother is placed. And someone made the comment that, oh, your mother has such beautiful gray hair. And I said, you know, she has me to thank for that. Because I gave her every single one of them. And we can do that as children. We can be frustrating. But you see, God entrusts, listen to this, God entrusts our children to our care. He's the one that created them. And he has given them to us to take care of for him. Because ultimately they're his, they're not ours. And Mary understood that. I don't know that she truly understood at that point in time exactly all that was going to be involved in the life of Jesus because he was going to grow up. He wasn't going to be a baby all the time. But she knew this. God had given her this gift. And with him, nothing was impossible because she viewed herself first and foremost as a servant of God. And she believed that children are a heritage from the Lord. Psalms 127, beginning in verse 3. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from Him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. So God selected Mary for this because she had the proper perspective. But there's another part of this as well that we need to understand. And that's the fact that God chose Mary because of what Mary would become. Think about that. Mary wasn't always going to be that 18-year-old, 19-year-old young virgin marrying Joseph. She was going to have to grow along with that little baby boy. And as he grew, as he finished and transformed himself into each stage of his life, there were going to be other challenges that she was going to be facing. But God saw very clearly in her character that she would be unrelenting in her protection of Jesus. She protected him from Herod. Herod wanted to kill this little Savior of the world, but Mary protected him from that. And you know, a mother's instinct to protect her child is knitted into her. It's a natural reaction. Not just in the human world, but animal world as well. They tell you when you're out in the nature, if you see a bear, you see a little cub, the last thing you want to do is get between that cub and its mother. Because mom's natural reaction, her natural instinct, is to protect that child. And that was Mary's natural instinct as well. She was going to protect him at any cost, even if it cost her life. But the other thing that she protected was his identity. And that would be difficult to do. Here you are, the mother of God's Son, and you know how wonderful he is, how perfect a child he is, and things that he could do that normal children couldn't do. But yet you can't tell anyone because you have to protect his identity from those who'd want to do him harm. There are also people out there that thought he was crazy, that called him names because of some of the things that he'd said. But she protected him from that as well. She was unrelenting in her protection. And mothers today have to be unrelenting in their protection of their children as well. Maybe there's not a Herod out there trying to get a hold of your child, but there are a lot of things out there that are trying to get a hold of your child that are even worse. We've got to protect our children from society. Parts of society that have taken God's values and set them aside and say, these aren't important anymore. That these things that society is preaching as being okay, we need to protect our children from and show them why they're not okay. Not just tell them they're not okay, but they have to understand why they're not okay, why God is saying you can't do that. Why God is saying do not take the life of a child. Abortion is wrong. I'm not going to go through the litany of things where society and God conflict because society's wrong. But we know what they are. We have to protect our kids from those things. And if we're not filling their minds, their little minds, or their adult minds with God's word, their minds are being filled with something. And God has given us the responsibility to take that which He's created and fill their minds with godly things. And God knew Mary would be unrelenting in her protection of his son. She would also be unwavering in her love and devotion. You know, Mary's love and devotion to Jesus came before he was even born. The first picture we have of Mary is just a young, probably a teenage woman, engaged to be married to Joseph. But now when we look at her, she's probably a little gray, or maybe a lot gray. She had other kids too. And her skin is probably darkened by the years of standing out in the Judean sun. And there are probably lines and wrinkles of years of struggle. But her love and devotion never changed. Do you know where we find the last glimpse we have of Mary? Where is it that we last read about Mary in God's Word? It's not one of the Gospels. But we read about Mary in Acts chapter 1. In fact, turn with me to Acts chapter 1. I want us to look at this together. Acts chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 12 through 14. Background, Jesus had been taken up to heaven. The 11 disciples had left, beginning in verse 12. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to a room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. Her love and devotion to Jesus didn't stop at the cross, but she was right where she needed to be. After he had gone up to heaven, she was there praying with the disciples, the other women, and her other children. What a magnificent picture that is of unwavering love and devotion, of constant faith and dedication to her God. She was there where she was supposed to be, still praising the name of Jesus. You know, Jesus was easy to love. But loving Jesus wasn't an easy road for Mary to travel. Think about all that she had to go through. In fact, it was difficult right from the start. Simon, you remember the prophet Simeon said to Mary as she presented her month-old baby at the temple in Luke chapter 2. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed." Verse 35. "And a sword will pierce your own soul too." Simeon was telling her that Jesus was going to be easy to love. But loving Jesus was not going to be an easy road for Mary to travel. And her soul was pierced many times because of her love for him. He had to flee to save his life, and that pierced her soul. When he was 12 years old, you remember the story? She couldn't find him for 3 days. We lose our child for 3 minutes, and we panic. And it was 3 days, and she couldn't find him. And I'm sure her soul was pierced. And when she found him, you remember what he said? "Don't you know I need to be about my Father's business?" I often wonder when she totally understood all that he was and all that he would be doing. And then on that dark Friday, her Jesus, the baby she had given birth to, She watched as his hands and his feet were nailed to that cross. Hands and feet that she had held as a child and nursed and nurtured and loved. She's witnessing this horrendous thing that was happening, and she watched them kill her son. And I'm sure her soul was pierced. Jesus was easy to love, but loving Jesus wasn't easy. It wasn't easy for his mother. You know, as we look at our moms, our wives, we see in their lives some challenges they have. Because sometimes our kids aren't easy to love, are they? They may do things that drive us crazy. They may even reject us and reject our love. But in that, we need to remember that God, with God, anything is possible. That lost child that we may have not had the relationship that we want with now, that child that may have rejected God, turned their back on God and gone off in a different direction, anything is possible with God. Continued prayer, continued encouragement. There are no hopeless cases when it comes to God. We need to remember that. We don't have to condone all our children do to love them unconditionally. And that's the challenge that God gives to us. And I can tell you, looking in the mirror, and I know some of you would say the same thing, I don't know how my mom kept loving me. I don't know. But I'm sure thankful she kept praying for me. Because if it wasn't for those prayers, some of us may not even be here today. A mother's love. Mary's was unwavering in love and devotion. Her heart was pierced many times. But it's interesting how God helps a pierced heart heal. Because nothing is impossible with God. So as we think about Mary, and we think about our own lives, we see that God looked upon Mary with favor because she had the proper perspective. She understood who she was. She was a servant of God, and she didn't ask why God, because she knew who God was. And God selected her because of what Mary would become. And you know, when God looks at each one of us, he sees that same thing. He understands if we have the proper perspective in our life as well. Are we seeing things as a servant of God? Do we know what our priorities are and what they should be? And when we do make mistakes in our life, are we willing to change? Because we have the right perspective. We're never going to be perfect. We can't be perfect, but we can be forgiven. And God knows what each and every one of us can become. The talents that God has given us are beyond our own imagination. There are things that we can do we don't even know because we haven't tried. You know, Mary could have easily said, you know, not me, Lord. I'm not even married yet. Why are you giving me this responsibility? Why don't you just give it to somebody else? Remember, that's what Moses said at the burning bush? I'm not qualified to lead these people out. I can get somebody else to talk. Not me. I'm not a talker. Mary could have said, I had no experience of motherhood. Give it to somebody else. But she didn't. There are things that we can do, each one of us individually can do for God, that we can't even imagine can be done because we haven't tried. Because we're like Moses and say, well, no, wait a minute, God, I can't do that. I can't do that. Give it to somebody else to do. And God says, I know, I you can do it because I've asked you to. I would never ask you to do something that I haven't given you the ability to do. That's our God. God looked upon Mary with favor because she had the proper perspective, because he knew what she would become. And it's our prayer that as God looks upon each one of us, our mothers, fathers, his children, that he looks on us with favor as he looked upon Mary. If you're here this morning and you look at your life and you see that there are some changes you need to make, then we would encourage you to make them. Some of those changes you can make on your own. But if you need the prayers of your family here to help you with that, we want to do that. Or if you've not yet become a child of God, God is looking at you and saying, why not? Why not now? Why not today? Why not this moment? Because right now, today, this moment is all we are guaranteed. So if we can help you in any way this morning, we ask that you come forward as together we stand and sing.